Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is simply Prayer. Its problems and its possibilities. Based on our gospel reading for today, Luke 18, verse 1, it's up on our screen. I'll read it for you again. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. I encourage you to follow the yellow insert in your bulletin with our sermon outline upon it. Prayer. Yes, prayer. There are so many things to pray about these days. The shape our world is in. Your personal and your family needs. The future of our youth, the mission of this congregation, the list could go on and on. Yes, there are many things to pray about, but many people, perhaps you, have problems with prayer. Maybe you just aren't getting to it because your life is too doggone busy. Or maybe you are simply spiritually lazy. Maybe you've been frustrated by what seems to be unanswered prayer. Maybe you wonder if prayer really makes any difference at all. Well, our dear Lord Jesus, who loves us so much, addresses our questions about prayer in two really quite funny parables in the Bible. I hope you enjoy as I share these parables with you as much as I enjoy studying them this week. They're found in Luke chapter 11 and in today's gospel reading from Luke 18. Parable number one can be entitled, The Friend Who Came at Midnight. Listen to these verses from Luke 11. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at night and says, midnight, and says, my friend, would you loan me 3 loaves of bread? Because a friend of mine has come on a journey to me and I have nothing to set before him. The one inside the house answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are in bed with me. I can't get out of a bed and give you anything to eat. But I tell you, says Jesus, even though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, in order to fully appreciate this parable, you have to understand the construction of a typical one-room house in Palestine. It's divided into two parts, an upstairs loft and a downstairs main level. The main level is used for the family's life during the day. And at night, it's used as a stable for all of their animals. At one end of the house is an upstairs loft you can only get to if you climb up a ladder. And at night, the animals are brought into the main level and the people go up to the loft and sleep on the second level. And the heavy door is shut with a cross beam laid across it, and animal and people are laid down for sleeping at night. Soon after this, the family are fast asleep on floor mats in the loft. The sheep and the cattle settle down in below, and all is quiet, and all is probably, I imagine, quite smelly. Marlene, how would you like to bring the cattle in to your living room to bed down at night? Then at midnight, when everyone is sleeping soundly, when all the children have been put down, a persistent knock on the heavy wooden door comes, and you wonder, who can it be at this time of midnight? Gentlemen, imagine getting out of bed, stepping quietly over your sleeping wife, and the 3 children who are now asleep, and the baby whom your wife has spent 1.5 hours rocking to sleep, then slowly climbing down that creaking ladder. Yeah, that ladder she's asked you to fix countless times, but you haven't got to it yet. And making your way quietly around the animals. Oh no, only to stub your soft little toe against the cold, hard hoof of a cow. Then limping to the door as the knock continues on that door. And you whisper through the crack, "Who is it at this time of night? It's midnight. What for goodness sakes do you want?" And the response outside the door is something like this. "Hey, buddy, a pal of mine just came from out of town. And I want to make him a sandwich, but I have nothing to make him. Could you give me some bread? Make it rye bread. I'd like 3 loaves, please." You stand there in silence, but you're steaming mad. Then you just say 2 words. You want to say some other words, but your wife has talked you out of such language. You say 2 words. "Get lost." Then you turn around, determined to go back to sleep, but then you're greeted with 3 wide-awake children who say, "Who is that, Daddy? What does he want? Can we get up? What's for breakfast?" And behind the children stands your wife. And she's now holding the crying and shrieking little baby in her arms, and she gives you that look. Gentlemen, you know what look I'm talking about. And the cows are mooing loudly. The rooster begins to crow. The whole household is disrupted. And meanwhile, the guy at the door keeps knocking, asking for rye bread. Finally, there's no choice but to open the door and give him what he wants and get rid of him. Well, we laugh, as we should at this parable. But then Jesus asks us, "Well, what would you have done?" And of course you say, we do the same thing. We'd give him the bread. And then suddenly, Jesus has got us just where he wants us. And he's making a comparison. He's drawn us into a comparison that we didn't even expect. And here's the comparison. If a man would respond to the persistent pestiness of this neighbor who came at midnight, how much more would God, who loves us, God who neither slumbers or sleeps, answer the prayers of his beloved children? Now we'll come back to that in a moment. But meanwhile, Jesus has us laughing with another parable about prayer found in Luke 18. The hero of this parable is a feisty widow. I can think of a few in our congregation that fit the bill perfectly. Her initials are Erna Selman, but I won't mention her name. Listen to Luke 18. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they should always pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" In this parable, we meet a dignified judge who's having a hard time holding on to his dignity. There's a certain widow in his town who's absolutely pesky in coming to him trying to get justice. She follows him anywhere and he can't get rid of her. We can imagine. She's at his door every morning when he gets up to go to work. She confronts him at lunchtime in the marketplace. She bursts in his 2 cocktail meetings with his associates. She's at his doorstep every night. And her request is always the same. It's found in verse 3 where she says, "Give me justice against my adversary." We can imagine the judge's friends poking him in the side because of his inability to get rid of this widow. He has a reputation of being a tough guy judge. And the motto of his life is recorded in verse 4. "I neither fear God nor respect men." But he's met his match in this feisty widow who won't give up. She's a tough lady. She knows her rights. She won't let up on the judge until he answers her. Listen to what the judge says about her in verse 5. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her what she wants. I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Now, some claim beat me down means lest she wears me out. But when you translate literally the Greek words there, it says, lest she gives me a black eye. Some lady, a persistent, strong-willed, determined woman who won't give up. Huh. Could she be something like the women of the LWML that we're talking about and celebrating in our service today? Well, the widow got the judge to answer her plea. And Jesus' parable ends with a comparison and a question, much like the friend at midnight parable we've already talked about. That is, and here it is, if this unrighteous judge answered the pesky widow's plea, how much more will God, the righteous judge, answer the prayers of His people whom He loves so much? You see, in these two parables, Jesus addresses some pretty big questions about prayer. We often find it hard to pray. And sometimes we find it hard to pray because we picture God as a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge. We feel things or say things like this. You know, God's just too busy for me. I'm not sure that He really cares. Does Almighty God really want to be bothered with my little needs? Well, my friends, here's good news for you. Almighty God does care. And He reaches out to you and to me in the arms of Jesus, His Son, our Savior. Today, our Lord Jesus Christ is here, truly present in the proclamation of His Word, truly present in the celebration of His meal. And He's here. And He's speaking to your heart today. His nail-pierced hands are placed on your shoulders. He is looking you right in your eye today. And He says to you, yes, to you, I have died and risen for you. You are precious to me, my child. I am not a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge. Come to me with your prayers. My arms are wide open for you. Now, often we also mistakenly think that our prayers aren't answered. We think like this when we don't get what we want or when we want it. But a search of Holy Scripture on the topic of prayer reveals this central truth. And listen carefully. Scripture tells us that the prayers of God's children are always answered. But God can answer our prayers in one of three ways. God can say to our prayers, yes. God can say to our prayers, no. God can say to our prayers, not yet. But our problem is, when we get any answer to our prayers other than yes, we figure God hasn't heard or answered. But you see, because He loves us, and because He knows what's best for us, yes, Father knows best. Like a loving parent to a request from a child, God can answer to us, yes, no, or not yet. St. Paul learned this truth when he had a big difficulty in his life. He called a thorn in my flesh. Listen to the words of St. Paul from 2 Corinthians 12. Paul writes, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, and three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. To make a long story short, God said no to Paul's request to take this thorn away, that is, this personal problem. But he gave Paul something far greater than an answer to this request. He gave Paul his grace and his strength. And this is what Paul needed to make him a mighty, fearless apostle of God. Paul's might came from dependence on God's strength and not his own. Now remember that God will answer your prayers. Yes, no, or not yet. And what might seem in our heart to be an unanswered prayer could well be God answering us in a way that's far better for us than we can imagine, that we won't fully understand until the future comes and we look back. Now, I can't help but be reminded here of a country western song. I confess, I like that kind of music. Back where we moved from, the people in Leduc used to say, we like two kinds of music, country and western. But there's an old country western song sung by a man named Garth Brooks who talks about this. You should listen to that song. You should read about the background of the song. The song is entitled, Some of God's Greatest Gifts Are Unanswered Prayer. We're also mistaken if we reason that since God already knows what we need, there's no reason to pray. Why? Because God wants to give us more than just an answer. God wants to give us more than just fill our shopping list of requests. He wants to give us the best gift of all. He wants to give us the gift of Himself. In prayer, God draws near to us. In prayer, He gives Himself to us. And like St. Paul in prayer, we learn anew the strength of His holy presence. God delights in giving us the gift of Himself. It's the theme of almost the entire Bible. As far back as Genesis chapter 3, we find Adam and Eve hiding from God in their shame and guilt. And what does God do? God comes to them and gives them the gift of Himself when He asks them, where are you? And in the New Testament, in Luke 15, we find a parable about a runaway boy. We call him the prodigal son. He is really messed up. And his father, who's a symbol of our Heavenly Father, sees his boy in the distance, runs to him, throws his arms around his neck, and he kisses him. And he gives his rebellious runaway boy what he needs most of all. He gives him the gift of Himself and of His love. Now, besides all of this, and I bet this is something that some people in this congregation aren't even aware of in Holy Scripture. Besides all of this, the Holy Scripture tells us that at times when we don't know even how to pray, or what to pray about, or what words to use, the Scripture teaches us that God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are praying for us. Listen to Romans 8, verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray about, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot even express. And Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, who was raised to life, He is at the right hand of God, and He even now is interceding for us. My friends, enough talk about prayer. Would you bow your heads and pray with me now? Dear loving Heavenly Father, we come to You in the only way we can, in the name of Jesus, Your Son, our Savior. We thank You that You hear all of our prayers. and that you are not a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge who doesn't want to be bothered with us. We thank you that because of Jesus, we can come to your open arms with all of our needs as well as our thanks. Help us, O Lord, to receive that which you want to give us more than anything else, the gift of yourself. Thank you, O Lord, that you delight in seeking us out, even when we run away from you, like you did for Adam and Eve and the prodigal son. We also thank you that when we just don't know how to pray or what to pray for, both God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are praying for us. Dear Lord, into your hands we entrust every person here this morning and each person and family of Trinity Lutheran Church and all those who are near to us. They are so very dear to you. Lord, love them and encourage them with your sure and strong presence. Assure them of your forgiveness for every sin and meet their every need. And Lord, make each of us a man of prayer, a woman of prayer, a boy of prayer, a girl of prayer. Help us to make a regular appointment to meet with you in prayer. And through prayer, O Lord, we call upon you to do things in our lives we never could have imagined. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.